The Gospel Light and Truth Crusade is a podcast of our ministry, which you can find at www.gospellightandtruthcrusade.com, and is hosted by Christian evangelist, author, and GLTC founder, Tony Keaton. The program attempts to strengthen and edify the body of Christ by combating false doctrines and errant teachings that have corrupted the simple faith of the work of Jesus. We also look at contemporary issues from a biblical perspective as well as prophetic events and prove that the Bible holds the key to our past, present, and future. By giving you good sound Bible doctrine and good sound Bible teaching, the Gospel, Light, and Truth Crusade helps you to make good, sound decisions for yourself and your family. Good evening, saints. Welcome to the Gospel, Light, and Truth Crusade. If you hear a noise in the background, it actually is not me. It's actually my next door neighbor. And that has something to do with the topic of today's discussion. Saints, welcome back to the Gospel, Light, and Truth Crusade. It's been a long time since I've done a podcast, but I'm really glad to be back in the saddle again, so to speak. And I'm glad that you're here with me, those of you who did stick with us during this time. I'm grateful for you. Saints, what I'd like to talk about today is the topic of forgiveness, because I've had to ask for forgiveness. I've had to learn how to forgive. What I want to do today, saints, is give you part of my testimony. Some of you may be wondering what got me into what brought this ministry about, what got me into this ministry, because if you've noticed, it kind of takes an angle towards Roman Catholicism. And you may be, and I'm sure many of you are asking, what do I have against Roman Catholics? And I have to tell you, I have nothing against Roman Catholics, but I have a lot against the Roman Catholic Church. I really do. And there's reasons for that, saints. The primary reason for that is because, if you've done even a cursory amount of research, then you know that the Roman Catholic Church is responsible for just about, if not all the misery that's happening in the world right now, a large percentage of it, the Roman Catholic Church is responsible for. And that is what brought me, that's basically what got me into this ministry, because it has personally touched my life. It's not something that I'm sitting back watching from a distance. It's actually touched my family and I. So if you know anything about me from our website, which is www.thestillman.com, the Stillman, all one word, then you know something about my testimony, and you may be aware of the fact that I have been persecuted. My family and I have been persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church for quite a few years now, over 10 years. And this has a lot to do with what you're hearing in the background. I live in a very small apartment in Munich, Germany, and you can just basically hear everything through the walls. And part of the persecution that I've had to undergo through the years has come from my Roman Catholic neighbors, my German Roman Catholic neighbors. And what you're hearing right now is my neighbor using some sort of a power tool to make a lot of noise. That's happened over the years. That has happened a whole lot. And it's gotten to the point where you just get used to it after so many years. You really do. And you don't expect anything different. So you may be familiar with my testimony, and you may be aware of the fact that I'm under surveillance 24 hours a day. And the harassment against me and my family, particularly against me, is something that goes on pretty much 24 hours a day. And so the minute I sat down and decided to do this podcast, and my neighbor decided to let loose with his power tool, and this is what you're hearing in the background. But you just have to understand that this is real. Persecution against Protestant Christians by Roman Catholics is something that is happening to a lot of us. And this is what prompted me to do this this program today, because I realized that I actually harbored a lot of hatred in my heart towards the Roman Catholic Church. And that's something that I can't, change. But what I'm trying to say is that if I'm not careful with that, then I would end up having hatred in my heart towards Roman Catholics. And that's not something that I want to do. As a matter of fact, I want to do the exact opposite. I want to love the Roman Catholics. And I, in fact, do love them in my heart. There's no way I could have this ministry where I actually minister towards and evangelize Roman Catholics. There's no way I can have this ministry if I did not have love in my heart for them. But Satan wants me to hate them, which is why he has things like this happening. But I realized last night, after a discussion, if you want to call it, I'm being really charitable with that word, a discussion with my Roman Catholic wife, I realized that what I have to do is forgive. And I'm hoping that through this testimony, through this podcast, maybe I can reach out and touch some of you who may have some issues with people. And you may realize that you, in fact, also need to forgive, because this is something the Bible says that we must do. We have to forgive those who wrong us. Jesus told us that we have to forgive those, love our enemies and love those who persecute us and pray for those who despitefully use us. And so this is something that we absolutely have to learn to do. In order to bring this home, I'm going to give you part of my testimony, because this may not make a lot of sense to you unless I tell you where I'm coming from and some of the things that I've had to go through. And I'm going to make this really clean. I can't tell you absolutely everything that I've gone through, because it wouldn't be good for you, and also wouldn't be good for me. This testimony has to edify, and it can't just be me just going off on a tangent, telling about things that I've passed through. That's not going to help us. It will help you understand the reason why that this ministry exists, and will help you understand the reason why in my case, and absolutely in your case also, forgiveness is absolutely essential. It is crucial if you're going to be in this ministry. And not if you're going to be in, even if you're going to be in the ministry, if you're going to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to learn how to forgive. That means we're going to have to forgive those people who we love, but we're also going to have to forgive our enemies. And that's something that's hard to do. And Jesus knows this, which is why he commanded us to forgive. He said that we should love our enemies. Then if we have to love our enemies, then we should also forgive our enemies. We're going to have to do that, because you may find out, and some of you that can hear it within the sound of my voice, you probably know that also, that a lot of your friends are going to turn out to be your enemies, or I should say a lot of your enemies will turn out to be your friends and family. And if you're going to love them, then you're going to have to forgive them. You can't walk around harboring resentment and bitterness against them because of things that may have happened in the past. This is what's happened to me. And I'll give you my testimony. I'll go into that now so that you can understand. As some of you may be aware, I'm an evangelist in Munich, Germany. I got saved back in September of 2005. I came over to Germany as a soldier. I was stationed up in Stuttgart first, and then I got transferred later down to Augsburg, Germany, which is about a 45-minute drive away from Munich. Back in 2007, I met my wife. She was working at the airport, and I had to pull duty there at the airport, also myself. What would happen is I would, about once a month, they would dispatch a soldier to the airport, and his job was to catch soldiers when they come in that are going to be stationed in Germany, and they're flying into the Munich airport. You would catch that soldier, find out what unit he's going to, and send him to his unit. Contact his unit and let them know that they had a soldier that was need to be picked up. And you coordinated that with the soldier's unit so that he wouldn't feel lost in a place where he didn't speak the language and didn't know anybody. So this was what my job was on this particular Saturday afternoon. And I met my wife. And I won't go into how we met, but I met her there in March of 2007. And we carried on a relationship that ended up in us getting married back in 2001. We've been living here in Munich ever since. Now, I'll tell you something, and I have to be real careful with the way I put this, because my wife does not have a podcast, so she can't tell her side of the story. And you must understand, and you do understand, that there's always at least two sides to every story. And so I can tell you my side, but it wouldn't be good. I have to watch how I do this, because my wife's not here to defend herself and give her side of the story. So what I will say is, It was very, let's just say that since the time that my wife and I got married, I realized that her behavior was very strange. And I didn't know at the time that my wife was a Roman Catholic. And she said she was a Christian. And at that time, I was not saved. So I didn't know what a Christian was. And so I know she owned a Bible, and she talked about things, religious things, and brought up the name of Jesus occasionally. And so I thought she was a Christian. It was only when I got saved in September of 2005 that I realized my wife was not a Christian. And that is important because as I come to find out that my wife was a Roman Catholic, I began to suspect that as I started to study Roman Catholicism. I started to understand that a lot of the things that my wife was doing was part of her Catholic upbringing. And unless you know something about Roman Catholicism, then you're not going to understand what I'm saying. You must understand that Roman Catholicism is not Christianity in any way, shape, or form. It's not Bible-based. Roman Catholicism is a religion that is based on traditions. And it is actually part of the mystery religion of ancient Babylon, which is the worship of Nimrod and Semiramis. I don't want to go into that right now on this podcast. We will touch on it on other podcasts, but it's important that you understand that Roman Catholicism is not Christianity. Roman Catholics don't do what Christians do, even though they think they do. There is nothing that Roman Catholics do that you can find in the Bible. So let's just say that my wife and I had a really difficult time understanding one another. It was bad before I became a Christian, but after I became a Christian, it got even worse. And it was actually because there was a spiritual battle going on in the house. And I did not understand why my wife, in my opinion, was being so rebellious. And she just would not do anything I said. It was really bad. And to be honest and to be fair, I wasn't that great of a person myself before I got saved. And that's just honest. I wasn't a bad person, but I had issues. But to make a long story short, my wife and I have, right now we have 4 children, but back in 2008, we had 3 children. And my wife was not a very good, let us say, house. I don't even want to get into that. The way I'll just say is I was raised in a totally different way than my wife was. So in order for us to make our marriage work and make our family work, I actually ended up doing a lot of the housework. Matter of fact, I did like 99.99% of the housework while my wife worked because she did not know how to raise children and was not a very good housekeeper. And so these things I took it upon myself to do to make sure that my children were raised right. And so we're living in Munich. We have an apartment, and it's the same apartment we live in now. We've actually moved once. We lived in another apartment before, but we live in Munich. We have an apartment. We're raising 4 children now. This is 2007. I'm going back to 2007, 2008 time frame. So we're raising our children. Our children are going to a German school, a German Catholic school. You have to understand something, that Munich is in the state of Bavaria, and Bavaria is like 100,000% Roman Catholic. Unless you live here or you know something about it, you're not going to know it, because they go through great lengths to make Munich look secular. In other words, they try to hide the fact that it's such a religious city that it's actually run by priests. They try to keep that a secret. You're not going to see that if you're a tourist here in Munich unless you know what you're looking for. So, of course, I'm ignorant. I don't know what I'm looking for. And I don't know that I'm living in a city that's run by priests and that religion is really big here. It overshadows everything else. It overshadows job. It overshadows family. It overshadows friend. There's no way you can get away from religion here in Roman in Munich, Germany. Roman Catholicism rules. And Islam does also. But if you know what I know, then you know that Islam is just another branch of Roman Catholicism. So Roman Catholicism is the order of the day. So I'm married to a Roman Catholic, and my children are going to a Roman Catholic school, basically. So there are a lot of strange things going on in my family that I noticed that. Let's just say My children are going to school, and one day my children and I were going to an appointment somewhere. I don't remember where we're going, but we're on the U-Bahn, the subway, which you would call it. Here it's called the underground train or U-Bahn. And we're waiting for the subway to come. And while we're waiting, we're on the subway platform. While we're waiting, my children start singing the song. They're just having fun, my two girls. My son has not been born at this time. He was born, but he was really small. So my two daughters are playing. And they're just playing and singing a song. And I hadn't paid attention to the song that they were singing, but it just caught my ear. That this is how the song, they were singing it in German, and this is how the song goes. Schwarze Mann, Schwarze Mann, ich habe Angst vor Schwarze Mann. I'll say that again. Schwarze Mann, Schwarze Mann, ich habe Angst vor Schwarze Mann. What that means in English is, black man, I'm afraid of the black man. So I heard my children singing this song. And I looked at them and I said, what are you guys singing? And they repeated it for me. And I said, where did you learn this song? And at first they couldn't tell me. And then they thought for a second and said, our teachers taught us this in school. So that is when I realized that my children's teacher was actually teaching them racist songs, songs that could actually end up having them hate me as their father. And so I knew we had a problem, but I didn't know what to do with it. I actually confronted the teacher about that, and she kind of apologized in her way. It wasn't a real apology, and as a matter of fact, she felt no regret for what she did. She did what she did because this is how she felt, and she taught that song to my children. And so, but I knew at that point that we had a really big problem, that we as a black family. Oh, and I didn't say this. My wife is not German. My wife is actually from Congo in Angola. She's an African woman. So here we are now, this really, really, if you look at it, really true African-American. I don't consider myself an African-American. I consider myself a black American. That's the difference. To me, an African-American is a person from Africa that comes to America and gets American citizenship. That's an African-American. To me, a black person, that is the descendant of slaves, is a black American. I consider myself a black American. Some of you may think it's just semantics. It doesn't really matter. It matters a lot to me. I am a black American. That means I'm the descendant of slaves. My wife is an African. And if she becomes an American citizen, then she would be an African American. That is a descendant of Africans who just happens to be an American. So here we are, this African American family living in Munich, and our children are being taught in school to hate black men. Because unless you're from Mars, then you have to understand that a child singing a song that says black man, I'm afraid of the black man is going to make those children hate that black man. And if they teach them a song that says black child, I'm ashamed of being a black child, then that child is going to hate themselves at some point also. So this is what's going on. We're a black family living in Munich, Germany, and my children are being taught songs that are going to teach them ultimately to hate their black father. So I know we have a problem. Other things happen that I don't want to really get into, but that's just a highlight, just so you'll know what type of problems that this black family in Munich is facing. And another thing that happened is one day my family and I were walking again in the subway, and my daughter kind of screams out of the blue. She just screams, oh, you know, and I look at her and I said, what's the matter? And she said, someone just burned me. And I said, what? And she said, no, somebody just burned a girl right there. And she pointed to her, said she burned me with her cigarette. And I looked, and the lady was looking. It was about an 18, 19 year old child, I guess, is walking away from us really fast with a cigarette in her hand, and I looked at my daughter's arm, and she had in fact been burned with a cigarette. So these type of things were happening to my children. And that's not to mention the things that were happening to me. I'll give you one example. One day I got off of the, what's called the Straßenbahn here, but in the States it's called a streetcar. I think it's called a streetcar. And I get off of it. And no, I'm sorry. I'm riding my bike down the street, and someone else got off the streetcar. And when they got off, they were crossing the street, and I was driving in front of them on the bike path. And a man out of the blue just walks up and pushes me off my bike. And I got up and asked him why he did that. And he said, because you're driving down the wrong side of the street, which I was. I didn't understand at that time that, oh, and as I think about it, I was not on the wrong side of the street. I was on the right side of the, no, I was on the wrong side of the street. I sure was. So I wasn't aware of it at that time that the bike paths kind of follow the same rules that the streets follow. In other words, if the streets are going west, north and south, the bike paths that are adjacent to those streets also go north and south. So you should be riding your bike down the bike path in the same direction as the flow of traffic on the streets. If you understand what I'm saying, Germans themselves don't always follow that rule. No one does. Most people do, but there will be times when you'll find yourself on the wrong side of the street for convenience sake or whatever. At that time, I was just plain ignorant. I didn't know. And so the guy gets up and, as I say, he walks up, he gets off the streetcar, and he just walks up and pushes me off my bike as I'm riding down the street. I want to get into that, but I will give you some particulars of the conversation that we had, because they're very important for you to understand the mentality at that time that still prevails today. So I get up and I ask him why he did that. He said, you're riding down the wrong side of the street. And we get into not even an argument, because I never raised my voice, even though he kind of raised his. And while we're talking, a lady comes up out of nowhere and she says, and she looks at me and she points at my face and say, if you don't leave right now, I'm going to call the police and I'm going to tell them that you started this. And then I realized by the look on her face, she was dead serious. And so I get on my bike and I ride home. Now I'm logging all these things in my mind. Now I'm asking, what's going on here? Because up until now, there hadn't been any serious incidents, although there were always incidents. I just hadn't classified them as serious, because what I'm trying to say is no one had gotten physical with me or my family before. Now, I don't want to get into all of the particulars, because now then what I'd be doing is whining. I'd be complaining now, and I'm not supposed to do that. You're going to be persecuted, so this is going to happen. But I'm starting to realize that my family may not be safe here, and we as blacks may not be appreciated where we are, and we probably need to leave. But my wife never wanted to leave. I couldn't get her to leave for the life of me, even now to this day. She's only said, I think like a couple of weeks ago, she said, when I said I'm really homesick and I'm really getting tired of being here, because we've been here now for over 15 years. We started living in Munich. We got this apartment together in 2002, and now it's 2017. So we've actually been living as a family here in Munich for over 17 years, almost 18 years. And so I wanted to leave, but she never wanted to leave. As a matter of fact, when I said, hey, listen, look at the stuff that's going on with my family, my wife actually said, you're the one that has a problem with these people, not me, because she didn't have any stories of anybody doing anything to her. Now, that's a story in and of itself. Didn't realize at the time that it had something to do with the fact that my wife's Catholic. Even though she's black, she's a Catholic. She's considered more acceptable than I am, because I'm black and I'm Protestant. If you don't know anything about what Roman Catholicism is, what Roman Catholicism is and what it teaches, then you won't understand what I'm saying. But if you know anything about what Roman Catholicism actually teaches and practices, then you know that they consider Protestant Christians heretics and that don't deserve to live. You need to know this if you are a Christian. You need to know this if you're a Roman Catholic and you're just not having really been initiated, if you're like a proselyte or if you converted to Roman Catholicism and you're not aware of the history of that religion, then you need to know this information too, because at some point you're going to be called upon to be a Roman Catholic, and they may entail you having a particular attitude towards Protestants. And that's just something that you need to know. You may have never heard this before, but I'm letting you know now, this is absolutely true, and others know this. Not just me. So I could never get my wife to leave and come back to the States. things with us are not getting any better. They're still pretty bad. We're still fighting a lot. We still don't get along. We still don't agree. And I still can't get my wife to do the things that I believe she needs to do. So we're having a lot of problems. And I just decide I'm going back to the States. And I wasn't thinking, because if I was thinking, I would never have said that and left my children with my wife. I didn't understand how bad things really were. So I said, I'm going back to the States. And I made an attempt to go back myself. Actually had shipped my things back and bought my plane ticket and everything. And so I go to the airport and nothing works out. For whatever reason, no one lets me. I get there late now. I know I'm late, but you know you can be late for a flight and they'll still let you on the flight. Unless the plane is like getting ready. If it's taxiing down the runway, you got no chance. But the plane is still out. It's just that, the people at the flight counter, they won't let me get on the plane. They won't let me board the plane. They said, no, so it's too late. I'm like, I've already got a ticket. I'm going back. You know, you can do something. And they said, no, sir, no, we can't let you go. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I can't get out of here. So I couldn't leave. And I tried to get other flights that same day. There were other flights leaving. I could not get on one flight. Believe it or not, I could not leave Munich that day. So I ended up coming back home. This is in 2007. This is late 2007 when this happened. And actually, it's around September 2007, as I recall. So I can't get out. So I come back home and I say, I can't leave. I tell my wife I can't leave. Now, I'm saved now. I've been saved for like 2 years at this point. I got saved in September of 2005. I'm looking up to heaven and saying, Lord, what's going on? You know, you mean to tell me I can't get out of the city? Do you have something to do with this, Lord? Or are you saying that I shouldn't leave? And I didn't realize it at the time, but that's exactly what he was trying to say. He was saying something along those lines, but I didn't get it. So I'm thinking, okay, the Lord doesn't want me to leave Munich. What is he trying to tell me? Go back home? So I go back home. And I tell my wife, listen, I'm sorry, I can't get out of here. And so we just pick up where we left off, basically. We didn't even talk about it. We just basically picked up where we left off as though I had never planned on going. So 6 months pass, but during this time, I'm thinking in my head all the time, every single day and every minute of the day, I'm asking myself, Lord Jesus, you mean to tell me you want me to stay here? Because as you can probably imagine, nothing's getting any better. It's just getting worse, actually. So on the one hand, I'm realizing I need to leave. But on the other hand, I'm thinking the Lord wants me to stay because he won't let me leave. So what's going on? I have absolutely no idea what is going on. You can probably imagine my frustration trying to be a good father, trying to be a good Christian, and trying to do the right thing and trying to make sure that I'm not just trying to please myself. So we pick up as we left off, but nothing is getting any better. And I'm still thinking to myself, I need to get out of this place, but it's not happening. Well, fast forward about 6 months after this, it's about February of 2008. So my wife goes on a trip to see a family member or something like that. And she leaves me with the children as she was accustomed to doing. She would just take off and go and see a friend or a family or something and be gone for a weekend or something like that. And I'd be with the children. So she did so at this particular point. On this particular occasion, she goes, I can't remember who she was visiting, if it was a friend or a family member, but I know that I was with the children. And what I would do with them often, since we couldn't go back to the States, what I would do is we'd take a trip to a military base someplace. Not far from Munich. We would just drive up there or take the train up there, and we hang out on the base for about a day or so, or spend the night a lot of times. And just because that was an American military base, it made us feel like we were back in America. So basically, we're like prisoners, basically, in Germany. I mean, my wife doesn't want to leave. We had never taken my children are like 10 at this time. They're 10, 12, and 14. No, I'm sorry. At this time, they were, my son was about six. Yeah, he's 6 years old, and his sister is like eight, and his other sister is like 10. So I've got little kids, and they've never been to the States. Even though they're Americans, they've never gone to America. So we go to the military base that just happens to have an airport. It's an Air Force base, so you can fly out of there on a military plane if you want to. And as a matter of fact, I often did that. While we're visiting on this base, I just get the notion out of the blue. Listen, me and my kids, we're going to the States. And this is exactly what we do. So I go to the flight counter, and I sign up for what's called a space available. If there's, in other words, if there are flights that have people that, soldiers that are transitioning, going from one place to another, and they have extra seats, then you compete for those seats. And if you're chosen, then you fly what's called space available. And this is what I do. So I go and sign up with my children to fly to the States, and we do so. And I can't believe I'm doing it. Here we are. We're jumping on the plane. I haven't told my wife a thing. We're flying to the States. And we do. And we fly to the States. This is February of 2008. And we fly to States, and we fly into South Carolina. We jump on a bus, and we take the bus all the way to St. Louis, Missouri, where I'm from. And no one knows I'm even doing this. I haven't told my family that I'm doing it. I didn't tell my wife I was going to do it. We just take off. And we show up in St. Louis, and I go to my sister's house and say, hey, can we stay with you for a while? She says, fine. And we do. About, I think, 2 or 3 days later, I call my wife, and she's panicking. Where are you? And I tell her, hey, we're in the States. And so this is what happens. And I ended up living with my sister for about 3 months. Then after that, I got a place. We moved like maybe 2 or 3 times because things got better and better. And I get a job at the library. My kids start going to school. And we're keeping up. My wife knows where we are. She has no intention of coming because I gave her the option. She doesn't want to come. And we talk. And I say, listen, why did you do that? And I tell her, hey, listen, I'm an American. I never had plans to stay for the rest of my life in Germany. I want my children to be raised in America. I don't want my children to continue to be abused by Germans, because I don't know what's going on at the time. I think I was thinking it was solely race-based. It wasn't just race based, okay, as I will say later. It had something to do with religion, but I did not understand it at the time. So I'm thinking Munich is probably the most racist city on the planet, and I don't need to be living here. And I don't need to be trying to raise my children here. I don't want my children to continue to be burned by cigarettes, assaulted because someone hit my son in the head when he was only 3 years old, so he couldn't even talk well, and he couldn't even explain who did it to him. So, you know, but my son was outside playing, and I was on the porch watching him play. And then I said, come in, son, and just ring, you know, and hit the buzzer, and I'll buzz you in, because I'm on the bottom floor. I'm looking right at him. So I'm on I'm on the balcony watching him play. And I said, come in. When I go to get the door and I open the door, he's standing there holding his head, and he's crying that someone just hit him. And so someone in the apartment building hit my son in the head. And I'm thinking, I mean, this is just one of the many things that happened. So this is what prompted me to say, I'm not coming back to Germany. My children are not going to be raised in, you know, KKKville. It's just not going to happen. And so I told my wife when we talked, listen, you can come here, but you got to change. You got to start looking out for your children. It just can't be all about me watching them. And if something happens to your children, you can't go around saying you the one that has problems with people, not me. This is not going to happen. If your children are getting hurt, you're going to have to learn how to be a stand up for them. This is what we do as parents. But my wife could not make that commitment. She just did not want to make that commitment. So I said, okay, well, then you're just going to stay where you are. And I stayed with the children. Because in my head, well, I'm not going back to Germany. And if you don't want to change the way you are, then you should stay where you are. Because I don't want to be always going around trying to defend my children and basically have to defend them against you, because you're going to let people do to them what you want to do and say, it's your problem. They don't have a problem with me. And so my children and I continue on until one day I go, there's a knock on the door, knock at the door. This is June of 2008. And there's a knock at the door, and I go to the door, and someone hands me a paper. What it is a summons. Okay, so I've been summoned to go to court because my wife has gone to court to get her children back. And it was under the Hague Convention for the abduction of children, which she was is the law that they use to justify going her taking me to court to get the children back. To make a long story short, she does take them back. She wins the case because what they did was, because the children were mine and hers, then technically I did not kidnap my children. I just took them without telling my wife, but it's not against the law. So what the court says, we can't rule. We can't say that. What they said is, we can't say that you kidnap your children. We don't have anything to do with that because they're yours too. But what we will say is, you took them without your wife knowing them, and your children were used to being in Germany. In other words, they justified it by what they call habitual resident. They said your children are habitual residents of Germany. They grew up in Germany. They have German friends, and you took them away from everything they know. What the court knew but pretended not to know was that no one here was our friend. My children had no friends at all. No one would even associate with them. They had a couple of kids that at least that lived right in the same apartment building, same apartment complex that we lived in, but they weren't my children's friends. And if you don't know anything about the Roman Catholic religion, you won't understand why that was. You may even think I'm lying. But if you understand that the Roman Catholic Church says that that Catholic people should not have any relations at all with Protestants, if you don't know that, then you won't understand that why my children had no real friends. They had not one. Had a couple of kids they played with. That's it. But no real friends, because Roman Catholics are commanded to not hold. They don't have to have faith. What they call hold faith. With Protestants, they don't have to be their friends. They don't have to keep promises to them. They're actually forbidden to do these things. They will be excommunicated if they do. So if you're on a list, you don't have to be on the list, but I know I'm on the list. Roman Catholics, because because I evangelize them, because I witness to them, and because I speak the truth about the Roman Catholic religion. Well, guess what? And no Roman Catholics are trying to hang out with me, and they're not trying to hang out with my children either. This is just a fact of life. So my children had no friends, but this is what the defense that my wife used in court to get the children back, that I took them away from everything they knew. I took them away from their family. I took them away from their friends. I took them away from the only home they knew. Well, they had no home, really. They're being taught in school to hate their father. You know, they're being burned with cigarettes, hit in the head by their own neighbors. In their own apartment building. All these things are going on. My children had no friends. But anyway, they did take them. They did rule that my wife could take them back to Germany, and she did. But something very significant happened during the court proceedings to let me know what was actually going on. Now, we had already decided that we were not going to, I had already decided in my head, and I had already told, I talked with my wife briefly about this, that we would not get the children involved. Not asked it, and I didn't want to do it. I know that if they were to say we don't want to go back, that it may sway the decision, but I didn't want them to have that decision. I wanted to leave them completely out of that so that later on they wouldn't look back on it and say, you know, we were coerced or anything like that. I said, what I'm just going to let is let the chips fly where they may and not have the children testify and say, well, we want to go back or we don't want to be here. They may have made a mistake, but I'm comfortable with that. I didn't do it. But anyway, what ended up happening is they brought in some specialist that went in to talk to the children. And I wasn't even thinking, you know, court's going on. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my children. I'm not totally there like I should be. Because since I had already decided that I wasn't going to have the children testify and my wife said she wasn't, then there was no need for a specialist to come in and talk to my children. But this is exactly what happened. They had some guy come in and talk to my children, and it's going on while my wife and I are in court. And when the case was over, when the court proceedings were over and the judges made his, he hadn't ruled yet, but it was over for that day. I went to go get the children, and I opened the door where they in the room where they were, and they're sitting at this huge table, and the table is just filled with sweets. I mean, cookies, cakes, candy bars, junk food all day long. which is something you don't do with children. I did not give my children sweets like that. I would give them to them every now and then. Every now and then is a treat, but we didn't get that stuff all the time. But here they are just being allowed to eat all. So, of course, when I go in the room, they're jumping around like fleas on a hot brick because they're all amped up on the sugar. And I'm already really upset about that. But I let that go. I've lost the case. I can tell I lost the case. The judge hadn't ruled, but the proceedings were mad. If I could tell you everything that happened, you would not believe it. Unless you've been to court and been railroaded the way I was railroaded that day. So we go home. And I asked my children what happened when they went in the room. And this is what they told me. And they said, well, a man came in to talk to us. And I said, what did he say? He says, and my daughter says, well, he said, he asked us, are we Christians? And we say, yes, we're Christians. And then he says, are Roman Catholics Christians? And we told him no. And he asked us, why are Roman Catholics not children? And we told him, because Roman Catholics worship an idol named the Virgin Mary, and Christians don't do that. And they told me that the man says, yes, Christians do. Protestants worship the Virgin Mary too, but they just don't like to talk about it. If you can imagine how outraged I was at this. What does religion have to do with all this? They're supposed to be talking to my children to see if they're coherent, to see if they are capable of testifying, even though we said that we would not have the children testify. This is what the person was supposed to be evaluating my children for. But instead of doing that, he's going in and asking them how they feel about Roman Catholicism. It was at that time that I realized that what was really going on is this thing is religious. This is what I realized at the time. This is religious, what's going on. This has absolutely nothing to do with the kids going back because they've been taken from their habitual residence where they're used to being. This has something to do with bringing these children who have been raised as Protestants and who know that Roman Catholicism is not Christianity. It has to do with bringing those children right back to Roman Catholic Munich, Germany, where they can be reprogrammed to be Roman Catholics. And I'll tell you something like that actually happened. I won't go into it right now, but that actually happened. So my children get brought back to Germany, and it's not because this is their habitual residence. It's because they're being raised by this Protestant father, and this is not desired because my wife is a Roman Catholic. Everyone in her family is a Roman Catholic. All our neighbors are either Roman Catholics or Muslims or something close like that. And if you know anything about Islam, then you know that it's just another brand of Roman Catholicism. So they want to get these children back and deprogram them, take completely Jesus out of their heads. And something like that did, in fact, happen. So my wife takes my children back to Germany. And I'm just broken. For a good year, I didn't know where I was. Matter of fact, I had gone back to college, and one of my professors pulled me to the side and said, I read the case. I read about what happened to you. I read about it in the newspaper. I saw your name and I realized what happened to you. And I've been watching you. You just look like you lost your last friend. And I said, I did just lose my last friend. You know, they just took my children from me. But anyway, this happens. So I'm really a broken man without my children. And I'm worried for them because I know what I took them from. And I know they're going back to that. What I should have done was jumped right on a plane and flew right, either jumped on the same plane my wife was on or got on the next thing smoking and come back to Munich, but I didn't do that. I felt that she won this one, they're going back, and I just better accept that. And I'll be honest with you, at that time I'm really hurt. I'm hating my wife. I really did. This I must say, you know, not pure hate, but you got to understand, I'm thinking this woman cares nothing about her children whatsoever. She's going to take them back to that place. But this is actually what happened. She took them back, and I'm thinking, I'll never go back to Germany. I'll never speak to my wife again. Forget all this. I'm never going back to that place. I'll never have another kind word to say to my wife. I'm just leaving the whole thing alone. So my children and I, we're talking on the phone, but that's as far as it gets. I don't visit them. They they would say that the mom's going to let them come and visit me, but it never happened. 2.5 years go by, and I don't see my children. And there were times when I didn't even talk to them. So it's really bad. Then in March of 2012, my son calls me, as we were used to talking. I was used to getting phone calls from him, so it's nothing special. But he calls me on this particular occasion. He's really sounding really bad. And he says something I'll never forget. He says, "Papa, if you don't come and get me now out of this place, I don't know what I'm going to do." And that scared the death out of me, because what had happened some months prior to him calling me is he got jumped on at school by 3 boys. They jumped on him in the bathroom and they busted his head, and it was really bad. What he said had happened to him was that he slipped and fell and busted his head on the floor in the bathroom. And he told that story to me, and he told it to his mom. But of course, I know better. I know better. Instantly, I said, something's not right. But what I should have gotten on a plane and come straight to Germany and find. But see, this is what I didn't want to do. Come right back over here and have to confront my wife, who had just taken him again, and say, "Listen, do you see what I'm telling you? You see what happened? You taught him, you took him, and you brought him right back to this so that they can abuse my son?" And I didn't trust what I would say or do if I were to come back. So I let that go until my son calls me and says, "Papa, if you don't come right now, I don't know what I'm going to do." So I get on the next thing smoking. I'm back in Germany. When I walk into the door of the apartment that I share with my wife and children, it was like something out of a movie. The house was in shambles. It was an absolute mess. Clothes were everywhere. Dirty clothes everywhere. Papers thrown around. Food on the floor. I can just go on and on and on. It looked like the garbage hadn't been emptied in years. The balcony of our apartment was full of trash bags that hadn't been taken to the dumpster, which is just right, you know, a 2-second walk down the street. You can just imagine how I must have felt. I didn't raise my children like that. The house was an absolute shambles, and the children had written on all the walls in the room. I mean, it was writing on the wall. There was writing on the ceiling. This place was an absolute mess, and it was as though. I can't tell you what it was like because I haven't seen it before. I haven't seen it before, and thank God I haven't seen it since to that degree. But it was bad. I realized that it was nothing but sadness going on in my house, from my wife down to my son. I realized at that time that the worst thing that could have ever happened to my children was for them to be brought back to Germany, to Munich, and to be brought back to my wife's house without me there. So it's a terrible situation. To make a long story short, it took me almost 3 years to clean the house. It took me 2 good years for sure. But it actually, I believe, I didn't really get it where it needed to be until last year, 2016. So that's 4 years. So actually, yeah, it took me 3 years because it wasn't 2016, it was 2015. It took me 3 good years to clean the house, and I cleaned it by myself. My children were young, and they had to go to school, and to me, they were kind of like in the way. I just did everything myself. My wife went to work, and it was absolute chaos, and I had to do it all by myself. And as I told you, it took me 3 years. I didn't have a car here. My car was back in the States, so I had to rent trucks and just fill them up with junk and take it to the junkyard and dump it. The whole house, it looked like, in other words, Satan had been really busy in this house while I was gone. He really had. And my son was in therapy. Believe it or not, it just blew my mind. My son is in therapy like he's crazy or something. There's nothing wrong with my son, but he's in therapy. My wife has got the boy in therapy. She didn't even tell me that things were so bad that I didn't even know he was in therapy. I didn't know till I came to Germany. This boy was in therapy, going to see a psychiatrist. There is so much more to this that it boggles the imagination. In other words, my wife, my Roman Catholic wife, brought my children back to Roman Catholic Munich in Roman Catholic Germany in Roman Catholic Europe, and they had just gone completely berserk on my children. This actually happened. So fast forward to now. I've never forgotten this because my wife never did apologize. She never apologized for bringing them back. She said, hey, I had to go get my children. You did wrong bringing them. She never apologized for bringing them up, for having my son in therapy and not telling me that he's in therapy, for letting them be live and be raised in a pigsty because it was really just that bad. It was just, I've never seen that type of filth before in my life. I knew my wife was capable of doing things. Like, I didn't know what, to be honest, because I was there and as I said, I cleaned the house, I never saw how bad it can get. So I didn't know it could get that bad. But it was so bad that I literally cried and I stayed angry for years. As a matter of fact, I stayed angry until last night. I've been angry for so many years. So many years. And my wife would always say she didn't understand why I could be okay 1 minute and the next minute not be okay. That I can be happy this minute and the next minute I'm angry. She didn't know. And she would say that, well, I ask you, she would say, I keep asking you what's going on with you. Why are you doing this? And you always say it's nothing. And the reason why I would always say it's nothing is because what am I going to say? Just keep bringing up the fact of that she did what she did and that she never apologized for it and that it hurt my children. What am I supposed to do with that? If my wife were to ever say, I'm sorry for that. As a matter of fact, her version of apologizing for that was to say, I'm sorry for everything I ever did. And of course that was unsatisfactory to me because you did a lot of things, but I'm not so concerned about what you did to me. I'm concerned about what you did to my children. And what you ought to be saying is, I'm sorry for everything I did to them. And I understand why you did what you did. The fact is she doesn't understand why I did what I did. And the fact is she isn't sorry that she did what she did. Because of this, I've been angry ever since I've been here. It hasn't always come out. It's been subdued. If at times I'll let a little bit of it come when I can't help it anymore. But it's always been there. I've been here now almost six years. It'll be 6 years. It's been 5 years now. And I've never gotten over what I saw when I walked into this house. And I've never forgotten the fact that I took my children to something place better and raised them by myself. And they were actually doing really good. They were doing really well. And my wife comes and brings them back here and they're doing worse than they did, than they have ever been done in their life. This really hurt my feelings because a mother should defend her children. She ought to stand up for them and not let anyone harm them. But that's exactly what she did, is let everyone harm them. Under the pretense of helping my wife. I don't want to go into all of that, but at the same time, they're pretending to help my family. They're actually destroying my children. Their self-esteem is completely destroyed. In school, they get picked on, they get bullied, they get ignored. They've never been happy. And then my middle daughter always says, I want to go home. And when I told my wife, the children said they want to go back to the States, and what she told me was, then if you want them to go back, then you go to court and you take them back. You get a court order to take them back. Like I had to go and get a court order to bring them back to Germany, is what she said. So can you imagine, how can you live with a person when they have that attitude? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's extremely difficult. And this is what brings me up to the topic of this podcast. I realized last night that I have to forgive my wife. And not only do I have to forgive my wife, I have to forgive my neighbors. I have to forgive the German government. I have to forgive the Roman Catholic Church, as much as I hate that church. Not the people in that church, but the Roman Catholic religion is absolutely corrupt. It is. But I realized that what I had to learn to do is forgive. I have to forgive my wife for not being the mother that she should have been, because she's a Roman Catholic. And if you don't, I'll say this a million times. If you don't know the Roman Catholic religion, then you don't understand what I mean when I say it can actually destroy a person's morals. It can take a woman and take all the femininity out of her, all the motherness out of her. It can take a man and take all the manliness, all the masculinity out of him. Take all the fatherness out of him. I've watched, since I've been here, I've watched men be destroyed by that religion. I've watched women, including my wife, be absolutely destroyed by that religion, because it's, you got to understand something, it's run by priests who are single, who can't have a wife. What if a priest who can't have a family, who can't marry, who can't have sex, who has it, but he can't legally do it, and he can't do it in front of people, and he can't have sons and daughters, and he can't raise a family, but he's over people who have husbands and wives and sons and daughters and families. What can he what can a priest possibly do for you? What can he tell you? What advice can he give you? He can't give you any advice. He's going to destroy your family unless he's just got really good intentions, or unless he can just think back to when he was a kid and maybe imagine what his mama did for him. But I'll just let you know, the Roman Catholic Church has always been run by priests. It's over 2,000 years old. It's always been run by priests. So, I mean, this thing runs in the family, which is why homosexual priests and abused children just goes on generation after generation after generation. You got the same priests doing the same things. And these people are over families. They're giving advice on how people ought to raise their children. You're putting them in your children in their hands and giving them charge of your children's education, their religious education and their secular education. Oh, come on. What possible good can come out of that? I'll tell you right now, no good can possibly come out of that. Absolutely not. But before I go on a rant, let me get back to what I'm trying to say. I actually have to learn, and I did it last night. I forgive. I forgive my wife for everything she ever did. And I mean that. It's done. It's a done deal. I will never hear her say what I think she needs to say. She will never be as sorry as I wish she were. Because why? She's a Roman Catholic. She's been raised. And if you don't know anything about, only Roman Catholics know what I'm talking about, or someone who is married to a Roman Catholic. If you are not married to a Roman Catholic, or if you're not Roman Catholic, then you have no idea what I'm talking about when I say that religion will destroy a person. A mother can't be a mother. A husband can't be a husband. It just can't happen. A woman can't be a wife. A husband can't be a father. As long as they're Roman Catholic, you can forget about that, because there's a priest somewhere in your life. And that priest does not want to see you and your family do okay, because he can't have one. That's just that's just common sense. Everyone is jealous. A person that can't have a child will be jealous of a person that can. A woman that cannot bear children, she may love her friends that have children, or her family members that don't have children. It doesn't mean she can't love them, but she's going to be envious of them because she wants a child herself. That's just natural. That's just natural. So a man that cannot have children, that cannot have sexual relationships with a woman, that cannot marry a woman, that can never have a family, he's going to be envious of anybody that can. You don't want that man in your life. You don't want to give your spiritual, you just don't want to give a person that type of authority over you. You don't want priests running your life who don't even know what it is to have a wife. They may know what it is to have sex behind closed doors, but they don't know how it is. They don't even know what it is to have a wife. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it is to have children. They may know what it is to have illicit children, but they don't know what it is to actually give birth, to watch their children born and raise their children up in their home. They don't know what that's like. You don't want to give a person like that authority over you. And this is what Roman Catholics have to do. They give, the priest has authority over every aspect of the Roman Catholic's life. That's just a fact. And that should not be. So you have plenty of destroyed families out there, many, including mine, because of the fact that my wife is a Roman Catholic. So I've had to forgive this. Last night I made a conscious decision to forgive my wife for everything she's ever done, to forgive the Roman Catholic people for everything they've ever done to my family, to forgive the Roman Catholic Church, because Jesus is going to judge that church himself. I can't judge that church. It's not for me to go around with hatred in my heart towards that church, because I'm not going to judge that church. Jesus, it's his job to have hatred in his heart towards that church, because he is going to judge that church, because that church has sinned against him, the Lord Jesus. So I had to drop that burden last night. It's not my burden to carry. The Lord Jesus will judge that church. The Lord Jesus will judge Roman Catholics. If they stay in that system, they will be judged. If you don't know anything about Roman Catholicism, then you don't know how sinful Roman Catholics can be and what they've got to do to erase that sinfulness from their hearts and their consciences. If you don't know anything about that religion, you have no idea what Roman Catholics must go through. I can't tell you because I'm not one. I haven't given any priest authority over my life. He may have a lot of influence on my life because of my wife, but I have not willingly ceded my life and my authority over my life, spiritual well-being, to a priest. So I don't know what that's like. But I will say this. I forgive Roman Catholics, even the ones that were and are and will be involved in the persecution of my family. I've already forgiven them last night. I've forgiven them in my heart. I've forgiven my wife. I've forgiven the judge who happened to be a Roman Catholic that gave my children back to my wife to bring them back here. I forgive the lawyer that my wife had that worked for her pro bono, that didn't charge her a cent, but charged me. He is also a Roman Catholic, even though he's supposed to be a Protestant. And he's also a Rhodes Scholar. And if you know anything about Cecil Rhodes and the Rhodes Scholarship, of which Bill Clinton is one of those, then you know how sinister that organization is. Everyone that was involved in that court case was dirty and crooked and a criminal. I forgive them all. I'm not going to carry that burden around with me anymore, because it takes a toll on you. You can't love people if you hate them. And you can't, all you can do is talk about it. And it is what you end up doing is just with your mouth saying, I love you, but it's not in your heart anymore, because you're harboring resentment and bitterness against them in your heart. I've relinquished that bitterness and that resentment from my life. I'm no longer angry. I've done away with that, because I can't live with that. I've dedicated my life to witnessing to Roman Catholics and telling them the truth, whether they want to hear it or not, because the Lord Jesus called me to do that. And I have no choice but to obey him. And I can't do the job that he's called me to do if I'm angry. I can't. So I have forgiven my wife. I've forgiven everyone that has harmed me and that has harmed my children. In one way or another, and they have been many. I forgive them all. And what I'm suggesting is, if you're going through something like what I'm going through, maybe not to the extent that I'm going through it, if someone has hurt you, has tried to destroy your family, has harmed your children or tried to harm your children, if you're a Christian, you need to forgive those people. Because as you will soon find out, and as you're probably finding out right now, it's hard to live with that. It's hard to love people when you hate them in your heart. And I shouldn't say hate. If you're in me, you don't really hate them, but you're really resentful and you're really bitter about what they've done. That can lead to hate. And you don't want to do that if you're a Christian, because Jesus told us to love our enemies. And he's not playing games. He's serious. He says, love your enemies. This means we have no choice in the matter. We have to love our enemies. We can't just say, okay, I'll love you, but I won't love you. No, we have to love them all. And if you didn't know, then a lot of times you're going to find out that your family is going to be your enemy. Jesus even said that. He said the day would come when a man's foes would be those of his own household. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. So man, that day has come for me. When I found out that my worst enemies are actually my family, and not because they may want to be my enemy, but because they have a religion that obligates them to be my enemy. If there's a Roman Catholic in your life, whether you know it or not, or whether he knows it or not, his church has ordered him to hate you if you're a Protestant. You need to know that. A lot of Christians don't know that, because the Pope Francis goes around smiling. Pope John Paul II did the same thing. They go around smiling, and the priests, they look to be so saintly, so grandfatherly, and the nuns, they're so matronly and just so. But no, that religion says that they have to hate heretics, and the heretics deserve to die. You need to know this. You may be married to a Roman Catholic. You may know that and not know why you're having problems, or you may be married to one and not know that that's why you're having problems. That's what happened to me. I did not know my wife was a Roman Catholic. She said, I'm a Christian. And to her, being a Catholic means being a Christian. But the Bible means nothing to a Roman Catholic. And you can't be a Christian without the Bible. So at the end of the day, you know, the Roman Catholic that may be in your life, that's not a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you know that. And if you're having problems with your spouse, it could be because your spouse is a Roman Catholic. That has happened to other people. I've heard a testimony of one lady that was married to a priest and didn't even know it. Married to him for a long time. And she said anytime she tried to corner him on certain things and talk to certain things about him, he'd always start an argument. That was his way of getting out of the conversation. And then she said it got to the point that she would start a fight herself just to get him to leave. Because what he would do was he'd start a fight and he'd storm out of the house. And that's how he got away from her, when she would corner him on certain things he was doing. So then she became programmed that whenever she wanted to talk to him about something, she knew he didn't want to talk about it, and she just wanted him to get out of her face, she would start an argument. And she said, she would say, why don't you just leave, Jack? You know, why don't you just go on one of your trips? And he'd get up and leave. Then she finds out years later that the man was a Catholic priest. So what's happening? Protestant Christians are marrying Catholics and have no idea they're doing it. Because the person says, I'm a Christian, and he seems to be a Christian. If you don't really know what you're doing, if you're not sticking to the Bible as your sole rule and guide of your life, if you're not doing that, then you can't define, you have no discernment. You can't discern a Catholic from a Christian, because you're not really a Christian yourself. You may believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. You may have made him the Lord of your life, but what you're not doing is you're not sticking to his Bible, to his word. Because if you do that, he's going to give you discernment, and you're going to know something's not right with the person you're with. That's what I had to do. My wife never said I'm a Roman Catholic. I've been with my wife since 1997. I found out, my wife admitted that she was a Roman Catholic in 2012 when I came back here. I said, I'm confronting my wife about this. I never did it before. I said, now I'm going to ask her a direct question. Are you a Roman Catholic? And she says, yes, I am. Well, that confirmed it for me. Now, I realized at that time, that's why you got so many problems. Your church is against my church. And everything my church stands for, your church stands against. We don't have priests in the Christian church. God says that if a man wants to avoid a man and woman, if they can't, and you found this, you'll find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that God says that if a man and a woman cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. That's in the Bible. The Bible also says that a man and woman to avoid, let every man have his wife, and let every woman have her husband, to avoid fornication. You're not going to find any priests in the Christian church, because God says, let men marry. If you can't keep your hands off a woman, you better marry her. If you can't keep your hands off a man, you better marry him. Well, you won't find that in the Roman Catholic Church. You'll find a bunch of women and men running around that can't keep their hands. You'll find a bunch of men that can't keep their hands off of other men, and they can't keep their hands off of little boys, and can't keep their hands off of little girls, can't keep their hands off of women. You'll find a lot of that in the Roman Church, because they're not allowed to marry. That's a sin. So you're going to find a lot of that. You're going to find an awful lot of that. So you're not going to know unless you're a Christian walking in the Spirit and you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're living a holy and sanctified life to the best of your ability, you are not going to have the discernment to know whether the person that is your wife or your husband or your child or your father or your mother is a Roman Catholic. You won't know. But you stick to the Bible and you live right, God's going to let you know. He's going to let you know, hey, so, hey, the person that you're with, that person has got something going on that you don't know anything about. And this is very important. Did you know that the Roman Catholic Council of Constance, which was held here in Germany from 1414 to 1418, actually decreed that a Roman Catholic wife does not have to be faithful to her. She does not have to obey the marriage contract with her what they call heretical husband, meaning her Protestant husband, and that the Catholic husband does not have to keep the marriage contract with his Protestant wife, with his heretic wife. Why? Because the wife, by her heresy, is what it says. The wife, by her heresy, has pretty much made the marriage contract default. She's defaulted on the marriage contract by becoming a heretic. In other words, by following the Bible rather than the traditions and the commandments of men, as with Roman Catholics do. That council said, hey, if you're a Roman Catholic and your wife is a Protestant, you don't have to be a good husband to her. Hey, Roman Catholic wife, if you've got a Protestant husband, you don't have to be faithful to him. He's a heretic. You don't have to do anything he says. You don't have to be a good husband or a good wife. No, you don't. When have you ever been told that? You've never been told that, have you? But it's the truth. Catholics are not going to tell you that. Even the Catholics that know are not going to open their mouth. Why? Because, man, they're going to have problems. It takes courage to be a Catholic and tell the truth about that church. So, and most Catholics do not have that type of courage. They don't have it. Think I'm lying? Investigate. So I'm going to tell you right now, you've heard some of what I'm going through. When I tell you, I just broke you off a really small piece. You have no idea what me and my family have gone through. You have absolutely no idea what my family and I have gone through. But I'm not so stupid as to believe I'm the only one going through it. You may be going through it too. And it may have nothing to do with religion, or it may have everything to do with religion, and it just doesn't look that way to you. Whether that's the case or not, what you're going to have to learn to do is forgive. Like I've had to learn to do. Forgiveness is a decision. Did you know that? I found that out last night. I had to make a conscious decision. I'm just going to forgive everybody. Because I hadn't done that. I'd done it with my mouth, but I hadn't done it with my heart. I had to make a conscious decision and ask the Lord Jesus to help me. Hey, I'm forgiving people, man. That's it. I'm done being angry. Can't do that anymore. There's no way you can serve the Lord Jesus and be mad. You just can't do it. It'll destroy your testimony is what it's going to do. You're not going to even look like a Christian. You may sound like one, but you're not going to look like one. So what I'm going to say to you, if you're going through something like what I'm going through, or it may not even be close, but if there are people in your life that you need to forgive, that they've done something evil to you, or they've hurt your feelings, or they tried to even destroy your life and your family, you're going to have to learn to forgive those people. The testimony of a former Roman Catholic nun says it best. Her name was Charlotte Heckler, or Charlotte Wells. She was a nun in the Roman Catholic Church for over 22 years, I believe. And she was a cloistered nun, so she was kept away from people, didn't see her, and they starved to death. She barely ate. She went in a healthy woman and came out at 98 pounds. I mean, she was just destroyed. And what she says at the beginning of her testimony says it all. She says, I have no hatred or resentment against the Roman Catholic people. I couldn't be a Christian if I had hatred or resentment in my heart against the Roman Catholic people. I love the Roman Catholic people. But then she goes on to say at the end of her testimony, and she's honest about this, she says, the Roman Catholic Church is a masterpiece of Satan. So because you forgive people, don't mean you don't tell the truth. Because as I said, she started her testimony saying, I have no hatred or any resentment against the Roman Catholic people. I couldn't be a Christian if I had hatred in my heart against the Roman Catholic people. But then she turns around at the end of her testimony and says, the Roman Catholic Church is a masterpiece of Satan. I mean a masterpiece of Satan. And that is exactly what it is. And guess what you're going to have to do if you're like me? You're going to have to forgive Roman Catholics that are trapped in that system, because they are trapped in that system. And when I say forgive the church, you're going to have to forgive them. What that means, just turn it loose. Give it to Jesus, because he's the one that's going to judge it. And you do that about everybody, not just the Catholic Church like I have to do. In your life, who's ever hurt you, if you've never heard the things that you need to hear from that person, if you've never heard an apology the way you want to hear it, tell yourself you're never going to hear it. Don't wait for it. Tell yourself, I'm never going to hear what I want to hear. And forgive that person. Forgive them, no matter what they did. Forgive them for your own sake and for the sake of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has told us to forgive. We have to do this. We have to love our enemies, and we have to forgive our enemies the same way that I have to forgive the neighbor that you hear right now. I've forgiven him. Why? He's trapped. But I'm not trapped. I'm free. I can forgive. And you're going to have to do that with the person that's in your life that's hurt you or that is hurting you. You're going to have to forgive that person, because guess who's the person that's free to do it? You. He may not be free to do it, but you are free to forgive that person. And this is my advice to you. Forgive. Forgive. And go on with your life. You have to do that. We have to do that, especially us in the body of Christ. So you've heard my testimony, and I think that I've given you some pretty good advice. And it's coming from a good place. It's coming from somebody that has gone through it. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just quoting the Bible, but I haven't had to do this. If you are listening during this testimony, you know I've got a lot of reason to be mad. I've got 1,000 reasons to be angry, but I can't do it. Can't do it anymore. I've done it long enough. Done doing it, have to be done doing it. And this is what you do. This is my advice to you. So I thank you again for joining us for the Gospel, Light, and Truth Crusade. Join us on the web at www.gospellightandtruthcrusade.org, which is down right now, but you can always find us on our blog at www.thestillman.com. That is TheStillManAllOneWord.com. As always, saints, be encouraged and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.